Okay. I am strongly suspecting that several of you will be woefully disappointed with the way this class is going to go this week. We are not going to spend all of our time picking controversial topics and arguing them. It would be meaningless because I'm right on them. And so if you're going to argue, then you're wrong and we can settle pretty quickly. We will talk about some controversial topics. Finish this statement for me. If you give a man a fish, he eats for a day, but showing where Chick-fil-A is and eats every day for the rest of life except Sundays. Right. Okay, so the idea of discussing controversial issues, we could talk about some, and maybe we even talk about it enough, we all end up in agreement on it. And what we've accomplished then is like that one topic. Or maybe we do one a day and we get five topics, or we do one every 15 minutes and we have 15 topics, but there's countless controversial issues, right? What I would rather do is spend most of our time this week talking about how do we deal with controversial issues, so that then when they do come up in your life, you're going to be able to think through, what should I do, how should I do that? Should I get engaged in a controversial topic? Should I contribute? Should I put in my 2 cents worth? Should I speak or should I not? What should I say? How do I decide what I should say? And probably even more important is how should I say it? Okay, so those are some of the things we're going to be kind of just circling back around through the classes. Is should I get involved in a controversial issue? Somebody once said, you don't have to attend every fight that you're invited to. You don't have to participate in every issue. You don't have to have a strong opinion about every issue. And if you do, if you feel like I've got something to contribute, let's think carefully about what should I say? Obviously, it needs to be biblically based, right? If you feel strongly about something. And then, how should I express that? So, we're really going to spend a lot more time talking about those things. Where's Eric? Yeah, so surprised you haven't left already. Eric is really wanting to get into fist fights about some of these things, so he'll get up and leave later on, I'm sure. On one of your 3x5 cards, I don't care if you put your name on them or not, but I am going to collect these. So it doesn't make any difference to me whether you put your name on them or not. But I want you to write down, it's going to take about 3 minutes, write down controversial issues. Okay? Whatever you think of controversial issues. They could be controversial issues in the world, in our nation, in our culture, in your congregation, amongst your friends. Things that are political, things that people are arguing about, things that are controversial. Does anybody not understand what I'm asking you to do?
Yeah. What is controversial?
Controversial things that people are arguing about, things that people are debating, heated issues. So I'll give you one example. Okay, this will be interesting. I'll throw this out. One person says Black Lives Matter. Somebody else says All Lives Matter. Is that a controversial issue today? Yeah, unless you live in a cave or under a rock, you know that's a controversial issue. So I'm just giving you one. Okay. So just those are the kinds of things. Don't just think about race. Anything that's controversial, everybody's paper, I guarantee you, no one will have the exact same list. First class that I taught earlier today, there was not one single, there was no two cards that were the same.
another minute or so. So happy about that. I wish that everybody could do that. I sincerely do. You probably live a much happier life than a lot of the rest of us. I'm really pleased that some of you had trouble thinking about what are controversial issues. Unfortunately, your life won't stay that way. Controversial issues arise. How many of you men have ever been in a business meeting at church? Yeah, so you didn't have much trouble, probably, right? Because there's all kinds of issues that arise. You know, what color is going to be the new carpet or whatever, you know. And things just become controversies that don't need to be even. So we'll talk about how to deal with a lot of those kinds of things. Give you a second to think about this one. Who are some people, and if you want to say, that'd be fine. Who are some people that you look up to? And this might not be a really fair question, so don't feel like you have to respond. Who are some people that you look up to when you watch them deal with controversial issues? I have some people in my mind who I really admire how they respond to the issues and things like that. Ben Shapiro. Okay. Is that who you were going to say? All right.
Scott Mitchell.
Yeah. Could imagine that. Anybody else? Yeah, Ben.
I don't know if his older brother lives in California. His name's Ted Sanders. I love every time I see him talk about anything controversial.
That was a whoop.
Good.
It's amazing. As you get older, let me encourage you to look for men like that. Men that you can imitate, that you can, you think about, how is it that all of a sudden they calmed the room? You know, how is it that you know, after they spoke, we had a guy, and it wasn't always a controversial issue, it was almost any kind of issue, in a church in St. Louis, in Ellisville, Missouri, where I attended for a long time. And his name's Dale Dick. And we would have a business meeting, and we would all be talking, and everybody would state their opinion about, you know, whatever it was, and Dale would just almost never speak. And everybody had gone around and kind of debated back and forth about different things, and kind of exhausted all ideas, and Dale would say, "Well," and then the next thing out of his mouth, everybody would be like, "Why did I bother saying anything?" And he would just express things so well. He'd been an elder in a congregation before he moved to St. Louis, and he just knew how to analyze things and wait and listen to what other people were thinking and saying, and then without too much emotion, some emotion's not bad, but without too much emotion, he would just express a thought that, I mean, just the whole room would just like fall silent and be like, yeah, that makes sense. That's really good. And it had such a peace-giving feel to it. I mean, not just a sort of a feeling, but it was just so good. And I think about Dale all the time. I haven't seen him for years. He's on my mind constantly because of his character and how he would handle controversies. And he would wait, he would listen and think before he would ever respond. That's why he wasn't just waiting for everybody to get done. He was thinking everything through. And so I would encourage you to look for people like Dale and Scott Mitchell and others like that. So I've been working on these lessons since, I don't know, when does Gary ask for our topics, Alan? 6 months, 9 months ago, something like that. So I gave him the topic pretty quickly, and been working on lessons, had several I've revised, which is probably not a good idea. Should have stuck with the originals. But I got thinking about just a couple weeks ago, I'm going to put this out on Facebook. And so I just asked, what verses help you when you're dealing with controversial issues? Man, I got like 67 comments from people. It was just amazing, the number of verses. And some of them were repeated, which is fine, that make people think about those verses and so forth. But it was really interesting to think about all the verses that were given. One of the verses I thought was really interesting, a couple people gave, was Matthew 7 and verse 12.
Anybody remember what Matthew 7, 12 is? Quote it or paraphrase it even?
Anytime I ever try to quote something, I end up like butchering it, so feel free to paraphrase it, or if you already turned to it, somebody read it. Matthew 7, 12.
Clean everything, therefore, treat people the same way you want them to treat you, for this is the law of the prophets.
So however you want others to treat you, that's how you should treat them, right? Familiar with that? So does that sound like a pretty good verse to use when dealing with controversial issues? It depends. What if you're an argumentative kind of person? Can you see a problem with that? You know, if you just like to fight, are there people that just like to argue? There are some. And so you really need to work on maybe the Beatitudes before you, in chapter 5, before you get to chapter 7. It is a good verse, obviously, Jesus' words. But you need to be careful with that. I have a friend. I struggle sometimes with some of the things that he does, but he will often start social media comments or even face-to-face, he'll begin with this phrase, "I'm not being rude, but what do you think is going to be the next thing to the script?" Yeah, it's something rude. I mean, and a lot of people feel like you were just rude. But he said, "But no, I wasn't. I said I'm not being rude. I'm just being straightforward." You see, where does that cross the line? That's kind of hard to know. Do I have full right to decide whether I'm being rude, whether I'm treating people the way I want to be treated? Or do I need to think about the other person and how they are hearing what I'm saying? You really need to think about that when it comes to controversial issues. When it's in the heat of the moment is when it's really tough to think about how is the other person perceiving what I'm saying and how I'm saying it. I'm a pretty passionate guy. Do you guys know what passion means? Feeling, right? Compassion means with feeling. I've shared the feeling that somebody else has. Passion means feeling. I'm a pretty passionate. I express my feelings. I get excited. And sometimes I have to be really careful about that, because it's perceived as overly forceful and, you know, sort of just intimidating. And I was like, "I'm intimidating? Are you serious? I'm like the most gentle guy there is." So I have to really think about verses like that, because sometimes people are like, "Whoa, why is he yelling at me?" I'm like, "I'm not yelling, I'm just really excited about this." No, I was yelling now. Sorry about that. So we have to
really think carefully about verses like Matthew 7 and in verse 12, and we'll make some applications to some of that. What about Ephesians 4 and verse 15?
Anybody studying Ephesians this week?
Yeah, I was afraid that Dan was going to deal with all of this before I got a chance to. Somebody read Ephesians 4:15. Really loud.
Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is ahead, into Christ.
Okay, so what's the context of Ephesians 4? You might have been in Dan's class already. You better get this right. What's Ephesians 4? What's the goal of Ephesians 4? Dan, you take notes. Growing up to be like Christ, right? And what's the context? The body of Christ and how it's going to function and having unity, right? Every part working together, joint, right? To edify one another. So in that context of Christians working together, now think about, sometimes when Christians work together, controversy arises within congregations, within churches, within families even sometimes. And so Ephesians 4:15 is extremely helpful, especially when we're in disagreement about something. Speaking the truth in love. Which one do you think, when we're dealing with something that's controversial, like it's a heated topic, you know people are pretty passionate about it, which one do you think gets emphasized the most in their minds? Speaking the truth or in love? Huh? That's what should be emphasized. But I think a lot of times people are more passionate about making sure that I'm teaching what's right. You need to listen to this. Look, this is what the verse says. And we really drive home, this is the truth, when it's a controversial thing, when we need to not choose which one is going to be the dominant. It's speaking the truth in love. We need to do both of those. There's no reason that you have to become unloving when you're teaching the truth. In fact, it works against the truth when you do that, right? 1 John just talks so much about those things working together, truth and love. So think really carefully when you're in a potentially heated situation about, am I going to manifest love? Is the person going to walk away knowing that I love them? Here's a great passage. Look at Mark 10. This is a place where you can see this unfolding, I think. It's not so much a controversial situation, but it's a good example of how to speak the truth in love. In Mark 10, verses 17 through 22, you know the story of the rich young ruler? Remember, he comes to Jesus. Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But you need to keep the commandments. Which ones? Jesus begins to list several commandments there, right? And he says, I've kept all of these for my youth. Just think about this for a second. Which commandments did Jesus tell me you needed to keep? Look at the text there in Mark 10.
Do not commit murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not fraud on your father and mother.
Yeah, well, those sound familiar? This is the first time these were ever brought to people's attention in the Bible, is Mark 10. Where did they come from? The Ten Commandments. But it's not all ten, right? It's six of them. So if you ever thought about dividing up the Ten Commandments, the first four are vertical commandments, our relationship with God. The last six are horizontal commandments, our relationship with one another. Jesus gives him the last six and says, I've kept all those from my youth. I don't think he's saying I've been perfect in them. He's saying I've been obedient to those. But there's still something about his horizontal relationship that he hasn't figured out yet. And so the text tells us, Jesus, looking at him, what? Loved him and said, one thing you lack, go sell all you have, give to the poor, come and follow me. I always want to have the audio of the scriptures. I don't think that's how Jesus said that. Right? I mean, would that be conveying love? You're yelling down a person's throat for that? Right? I don't know exactly how he said it, but I tell you, based on other passages, I imagine a tear in Jesus' eye. I suspect he knows how this is going to end. And so he's saying, there's one thing you have. I don't sell what you have before. Come follow me. You have treasure. Jesus loved him when he told him something really hard to do. So we don't have to separate speaking the truth and love. You see that? So when we're talking to people, we don't have to yell at them, particularly when we're disagreeing with them. Let's manifest Christ in that scenario. It's not so much about being right as it is being righteous. We need to be righteous in God's eyes when we speak. And we need to manifest that love.
It's really hard to win somebody over if you've convinced them that you really don't care about them. You need to show that love about that. Any thoughts or questions there? Okay.
I think it brings up the point that since we're supposed to show that love, then it's a lot easier to get to know someone when we're talking controversial topics. You don't just immediately approach a stranger and say, just start talking about random things.
Yes. Yeah. So you see somebody with a t-shirt on that says BLM, and they're walking down the sidewalk, and they're walking towards you, and you just look and go, "All lives matter," or vice versa. This like, what's that accomplishing? But I see people do that all over the place. I see them do it on Facebook, and I'm not on the other social media, so that's kind of my limitation, the old man's social media. So then you see people just sort of yell at somebody, and they're yelling out into the world where a lot of people that they don't know are going to see that. And it's really counterproductive. Yeah, getting to know somebody is developing a relationship. A while back I had a topic came up, doesn't matter what it was a controversial issue. And this was a few years ago, I posted something about it. Another brother disagreed with me, and so I just wrote him back and said, he's Italian, and I wrote him back and I said, how about if we just get together and have some pasta and talk about this? He's like, hey, that's cool. And he's like, all of a sudden, we were going to be able to have a casual conversation about this, or if I had just responded back, it would have been an argument.
So we can really diffuse situations and really seek to accomplish what God wants us to accomplish by speaking the truth in love. So when I posted that question to people, I also put the verse that is most significant to me, that helps me the most, not it's the only one, but the verse that helps me the most when I'm dealing with other people on controversial issues. It's Proverbs 15:1. I'm going to turn to Proverbs 15. Spend the rest of our time tonight in that passage. So I really was tempted to just flip open my Bible to any chapter in Proverbs, and I felt pretty sure that I could teach at least one lesson on this topic from that. It wouldn't matter what chapter, because they all have these principles that would aid us in dealing with controversial issues, dealing with brethren and controversial issues. But because Proverbs 15:1 has long been one that if I do well, and sometimes I do, in a controversial issue, it's because I am applying a soft answer turns away wrath. And when I don't do well, when I really act stupid, really, most of the time it's stoopid. When I act that way, it's because I've thrown in a harsh word, and it stirred things up worse. I mean, man, I don't know that there's ever an exception to that.
You know, this verse, it's not an absolute. Proverbs are not absolutes. But they're almost. They're really, really close. They're such strong principles. I can't think of an exception when things have gone well in a controversial issue where I have sought to apply the first part of this verse.
And where it's blown up and I'm the one at fault, it's because of the latter part of this verse. So that's been one that's really helpful for me. So here's what I want you to do on your other 3x5 card. I want you to, we're just going to spend a few minutes on this. I'd like to spend longer, but we can't. So you're going to have to work quickly.
I want you to read Proverbs 15 and read a verse, but then ask yourself, does this verse apply to controversial issues? And again, not everybody's going to get the same answers. A lot of the answers are going to be the same this time. So you understand what I'm asking? So read verse 1. Does that apply to controversial issues? I already told you it does, so you're going to write verse 1. And then you read verse 2 and do the same thing. Ask that question. And don't write the whole verse. Just write the number, right? Okay? We'll just spend a couple minutes going through the verses there.
Seconds or so. Okay. We're going to break up into groups. I don't do this very well. This is not really my strength of teaching. But I think it's a better way of teaching, so I'm trying to do it better. We're going to break up into some groups right now. And when we do this, then I want you all to, I'm going to assign certain verses to each group. I want you all to get together and discuss amongst yourselves which verses or why these verses apply and how they apply to controversial issues. Rather than me just lecturing you about why they apply, I want you all to talk about why they apply. Okay, does that make sense? Okay, so let's take, you come that way, and so everybody on that table, or those two tables, can just go off maybe off to the side or something, and talk about verses 1 through 9, and discuss which ones apply. And then, so you guys, from this one on, and the rest of you, four right here. You guys can come down this way and talk about verses 1 through 9, 10 through 17. And then the rest of you, 18 through the end of the chapter. Y'all understand what I'm asking?
Yeah. I'm just going to